We're here at Fringe Central. It's coming towards the end of week zero. Can you believe Edinburgh Fringe has week zero? Ripe for comedy, even that. I'm joined by Patrick Stockbridge, and I'm also joined by a member of the Fringe Review team, a man with only three shows here at the Fringe this year. And we're going to have a conversation about a show, which before I mention the title, I just want to kind of, prologue it with... It was once said when I first came to Edinburgh about, 15 years ago, that the one type of show that you didn't do at the Edinburgh Fringe was an attempt to do a show about the Edinburgh Fringe. More of those have collapsed with good intentions and, satire that becomes too self-referential. And yet, over the years, one or two have done brilliantly as well. So, Ed Fringe, the musical review, I want you to tell me why it's not going to be awful.
Well, I think it's down to our cast are really fun, and the songs...
So hold on, let me interrupt. Really fun, that sounds like a children's show. Come on. I want specifics here.
We've got three excellent... We started for the point we wanted all our cast members to be in other shows at the Fringe and having known about the Fringe. So we've got three excellent people who are in different shows, different venues, and so actually know what they're talking about. Yeah. They're also brilliant singers and dancers and very funny people.
Okay, so you're saying the baseline is talent.
Baseline is talent. I've written all the music, lots of songs about different elements of the whole experience. I've done five Fringes myself, so it's all drawn from lots of personal experiences and then stealing stories from people who maybe have done even more Fringes than that. So it's kind of drawn on a lot of truth, and I think that's what kind of makes it kind of real for the audience and hopefully funny, because it's a very strange place, Edinburgh, and if you take yourself out of it, you realise how kind of wacky it is.
But does your audience need to have been to the Fringe and know what the Fringe is? Are they going to be bamboozled if they've never been here?
I think it's kind of for everyone. From if you've arrived on the first day, you have an experience of you've walked up the Royal Mile, that's like, and you've seen all the people, all the kind of places. I think it's from a first-time experience, you get a lot out of the show. And if you've been 20 Fringes, you get a lot more out of the show, a very different experience, because you'll be like, oh, okay, you get the in-jokes. But we've tried to deliberately make sure the people who have just arrived on that first day will be able to understand most of the material.
And Tim, you can't review this show because you actually share a house with about 500 other people, including Patrick. But you want to say something?
Yeah, I saw a little run through of this last night at technical rehearsal because I need to pick up some keys. And I just like to second what you were just saying there. You say I'm doing three shows here. I'm actually a Fringe novice. I did my first Fringe last year, a little toe in the water exercise, and just did little seven performances of my show Mengele. And so a little bit of a novice, really. And I sat through last night absolutely hooting with mirth. I think it's... And what I love about it is so different. I could never... So different to what I do. And for someone who's doing a show about Joseph Mengele and PTSD another piece of... Like, little piece about dementia, you know, to be sharing a house with these twirlies is just fantastic. They're great characters.
Yeah, the upstairs hall with the shared bathroom as you're all doing your lines and in character.
Only in Edinburgh, it's fantastic, and I can vouch for the cast. They're superb. I didn't know what to expect, and I thought it was brilliant. So go see it, people. It's great.
So we're kind of pleased and surprised about how bad this isn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a brilliant experience writing it from, again, it's personal experiences and picking all those topics that you need to kind of cover when you think about the Fringe. There's a song called 50-50 Chance of Rain, which is, in fact, it's actually a 52% chance in Edinburgh during August. So
there's some good humour about Edinburgh, not just the Fringe.
It's about Edinburgh, it's about the city, there's like a song about called How Much, which is how much everything costs, which I'm sure the locals are also very aware of, as everything gets inflated. It's basically for the city, the people, and the shows. So if you're involved in a show, you'll get a lot out of it. But even if you just live here, you'll be aware of everything that happens around the period.
So, so what I'm hearing too, because this is exactly what makes a good review in lots of other areas too, the musical is you've got professional performers, yeah. People up here with a stake in the Fringe, and you've come up with material, you know, that isn't poking nasty fun. It's kind of laughing in a different way.
No, I mean, we're laughing ourselves, I guess, because we're all involved in this kind of process, and you have to kind of be aware of the fact that even though it costs loads of money and it's very tiring and stressful and it's a very busy month for everyone, including reviewers and producers and everything, we still do it every year because it brings joy to so many people, us and the audience, and gets to expose new material.
You do a lot of intense, serious work. I mean, do you need a laugh, Tim?
Yeah, no, there's a few laughs in my show. We get a couple of laughs out of the pomposity of Joseph Mengele. Before we descend. And the same with the PTSD piece, the Shell Shock that I'm doing with Army at the Fringe. That we say that's a bit like a Michael McIntyre routine ramped up to 11. It begins with comedy and then descends as you realise that this guy's not quite right. And All Changes, I think it's a delightful piece about very, very personal to my family, and who've lived with dementia and have found humour in it. It's a pathos humour, but there's a lot of very a lot of poignancy that you can draw out of that kind of subject matter.
Tim, what I'm hearing also, you represent a large number of shows at the Fringe that deal very seriously and properly with very, very important material. But there is also a lot of comedy up here that pokes fun at the world. And one of the criticisms about a lot of humour at the moment is it's not light in the way that light doesn't need to be mediocre, but also it's kind of a bit nasty and it's a bit kind of angry at the world. And what you're offering is a different sort of humour here in music, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously with the world issues as they are at the minute, there's a lot of chance for quite aggressive satire, and I feel that people, especially, I'm not saying it's lighthearted in any way. It's a very fun show, and you'll get a lot out of it. And hopefully enjoy yourself. But yeah, there's lots of other places that you can go for your satirical comedy about Trump or Brexit, and I'm sure they're brilliant. But this is just a chance for a bit of escapism, and escapism in a very meta way, with the fact you're escaping to see yourself exposed.
Give me a hint of like a fly in the wall documentary of how this stuff got made and written and rehearsed.
All right, so I wrote a show called January, the Musical Review, which was about how crap January is, with songs about dieting and things like that. And it went really well, and we tried it out in London. And I was like, they were like, this is a perfect Edinburgh show, except for the fact it's called January, and obviously Edinburgh being in August. So I was like, right, completely new show. Pick your favourite bits of Edinburgh and start from there. I met my girlfriend 4 years ago in Edinburgh, and she was a techie and I was a MD playing piano. And so that was kind of, the first song I wrote was called Fringe Crush, which is in the show, which is a nice little ode to her. Well, I think she gets embarrassed every time it's played. And started from there, and then there's a song called Climbing Arthur's Seat, and it kind of all stemmed from that.
And were you all just sitting with guitars and kind of coming up with stuff, or did someone write it and then put it to the group?
All music lyrics and music, all by music lyrics, and the book is all by me. A lot of it's me sitting in a room just going, I guess, writing some fun puns and seeing where it leads. But a lot of it, again, you write a thing and you remember an experience from 4 or 5 years ago when the joke that you were making actually happened, because most of the jokes are real, because Edinburgh is such a strange place that things, the unpredictable does happen, so.
Finally then, without using the word amazing, what is your invitation for people to come and see Ed Fringe, the Musical Review, maybe as they look for a bit of recovery from, Mengele or something?
It's fast-paced. It's action-packed, there's some brilliant harmonies and cool singing, and they'll just have a really enjoyable evening, and they can come out of it and go and actually do the things that they've just seen in the show, and they'll probably notice more things about Edinburgh than they've been aware of before.
I think one of the great things about The Fringe is seeing people do things that I could never dream of doing myself, and seeing those three guys performing last night, there's an awe of them there. It's fantastic to see that kind of talent, that kind of young talent, knocking their socks off on stage. And Paul, you very kindly say to me, you're doing three shows, that's impressive. These kids are doing three shows, and they're throwing themselves around the stage, dancing, singing, really stretching themselves, really challenging themselves, and I think that's hugely admirable, and you're doing great, Patrick.
Yeah, you didn't say amazing, you just said cool and brilliant, but I'm going to say amazing at you. That's why I said three shows, because you're amazing. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.